Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Never gets old.
No, man, I'm loving it. Love it.
They can do what you do, baby.
America. Gentlemen, welcome to another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. October is upon us, but no need to get scared. We are, again, your friendly folks ready to kick off another amazing, amazing show, if you will. So we have a lot of things to discuss, so let's go around the horn, checking with the fellas, as we always do. JQ, how you feeling, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. I'm a little broke for being in Vegas with the family, but I'm good.
I tried to tell you it was even lost wages.
It wasn't just gambling. It was eating and taking them places. Boy, goodness gracious.
Big money, JQ. You got that kind of green, bro. Come on, man.
No, where?
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah, you missed Major League Baseball All-Star, man. You know you got it.
No,
yeah,
man.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, when I go to those places, I'll just say it for myself. I ain't dancing for 300 people.
I mean, let's keep it real. What happened was John Gruden was hanging out with JQ, drank too much, and decided to go ahead and resign. That's kind of what happened, probably, you know. So that's essentially how everything happened.
Man, that's a wild boy.
Yeah, just
hey, what's the meat ID again? I forgot.
What'd you say?
What's the meat ID again? I forgot it.
Oh, hold on. Code?
It's 807-808-9239.
Yep. There it is.
That's what I thought. It's telling me.
You guys, since it's Halloween, I throw this out there at you.
This guy right here.
There we go.
This guy right here.
That for the week of Halloween.
That's right.
Oh, Rob, how you doing this evening, sir?
Hey, man. Feeling great. You know, got some tennis in, trying to stretch these joints. Got some fish and asparagus in, so he's feeling good.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's a terrible combination, but we'll let you go with that, man. What's going on, sir? Garrett, you good?
Rocking
get everybody
it,
ready? What's going on, man? You ready?
That's a banana.
I'm ready, man. We're ready to do this, right?
Does that say the natty, right?
Yes, sir.
So you left the Buckeyes. Now he went to the Bearcats. They're number 3 in the country now.
No, it's not. It's my red shirt. No, I'm riding both of them. Let's go.
There you go.
Did we get Curtis on or no? Is he able to join in?
Curtis, you on?
Yeah. And I'm so glad to be
cool.
Here. I mean,
gotcha.
This is every day above ground is a great day. So being with you guys is a great day. Great day.
So Curtis and I had a good day yesterday. We hung out, got him out of the house, out and about, went and had a little bite to eat, had a good time.
I thought I knew you had, man. I was a little jealous we weren't invited.
For real, we did our final.
I don't know if they had anything I don't know if they had asparagus on the menu, so that's why I didn't invite them.
Whatever you invite Rob, I checked the menu first.
We did our
We've been switching it up lately. We've been having a little zucchini every night.
I'm not big on asparagus myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well,
asparagus is good for you.
And
it's
official.
Thing.
It's
yeah,
official
I know.
It's official now.
All right, I'm going to try to get the show back on the rails, if you will. Go ahead, Curtis, real quick.
Right.
Yeah, what I wanted to say, I had to welcome Jerry into my family, and I told him, you're not going to find a more dysfunctional family in America. So, welcome
you know,
to
every family has that one person, you know? Every family's got that one person, if you know what I'm talking about. Everybody's got that one.
Yeah.
Yep, JQ, it's Rob, it's Andre, it's Gary, you know, yeah.
I got a couple. I got more than one.
I was kind of squirming when you said that, Rob, because I can think of like four or five off the top of my head.
I guess I was like, they all live in Alabama.
Oh, man.
Well, we were
crazy.
Born
I love them. They're crazy as all get out.
I was born in Texas, and what's going on in Texas is making me ashamed that I was born in Texas. That governor, oh my God,
he's a knucklehead.
It's so funny
yeah,
you see people on social media, you know, I hate to talk bad about him, but people on social media are saying they need to roll him out of office. I'm like,
woo, man! See, Curtis, you can't come off like you know, fire shots like that. You know, this is we're trying to keep stuff, you know, again a little sports related. Even though me and Gary had a nice little talk about Dave Chappelle, but you know, we're gonna keep this on the rail again. So y'all are gonna stuff, man.
Hey, he was wilding for that.
That's why we're keeping it short, man. Because if not, we'll be here all night.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet, but if you pay attention to it, you know, some of the things what he said, it's, you know, is true. Even if you look at the John Gruden situation, I hate to say this, but even if you look at the John Gruden situation, when the racist comment came out, he still had a job. But when it came out that he was talking about the gay community and the LGBT community, he was out. and I think that's what Dave Chappelle was alluding to a little bit. And I haven't seen the whole thing, but But to some degree, those are the things. From what I heard, he said he turned out to be right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that later. We're gonna have a beer whenever we discuss that, gentlemen. We're gonna be in Pro Scopes, definitely like around the table, just kind of shooting the shit, man, for sure. But
mm-hmm.
Let's get this party started here. Let's get a quick update, Rob, on the Giants Dodgers series before Rob and Gary kind of take that. And looks like right now the Dodgers starting Walker Buehler on short rest too, so we can talk about all that as well. So go ahead, Rob. As we get this party started.
I mean, the Dodgers, you know, Mookie Betts is a two-run blast, you know, extended him out to a 4-0 lead. The Giants just got a run on the board and made it a 4-1. And, technically the Dodgers and the Giants' bats have been kind of cold here the last couple of games, and the Giants' bats are still cold. Obviously, the Dodgers had a slight gamble going with Walker Buehler here on 3 days rest. Game one, he had about 6 1/3 innings. Gave up about 3 runs, but tonight he got about a good 4.5 innings out of him. And he's got him off to a good start. But obviously the Dodgers needed to get their bats going. The middle of their lineup has really struggled in this series here in the first 3 games. And, you know, like I said, Mookie Betts with that 2-run shot, giving them a 4-1 lead. And kind of disappointed here. Because these two teams have the best records in Major League Baseball. You kind of almost wanted to see this as a World Series or a National League Championship Series. But, you know, unfortunately, we got to see them, you know, in the first round. And no offense to Dre's Atlanta Braves. Congratulations to the Braves. You know, with a 3-1 series victory over the Brewers. Hey, you know, that's revenge. You know, Milwaukee knocked out Atlanta in the NBA playoffs, and now, you know, Atlanta comes back and knock out Milwaukee here in the baseball playoffs. But, you know, it looks like we might have a game five out of this series, which I think which you would want to see from the two best teams in baseball, right?
Yep.
The only thing I would say is good for him. That was that's a good gamble because, you know, you said he threw 6 1/3, threw 99 pitches in that first game, and he hadn't had any kind of relief duty with, you know, short relief since, you know, since I think it was, 2017 when he was a reliever. So, you know, to get some quality time out of him is that's good. That was better than what I thought they were going to get. So,
he young, man. He'd be all right. He young. He got that drilling. He probably has pants on. He going to make it.
Right.
Oh, my
right.
God.
These pitchers are kind
know,
of pampered, aren't
the
they? That's the only
lineup.
Prior to
yeah,
tonight,
he bought
Corey
them.
Sager,
he bought them and, I got kids.
Trey Turner and Justin Turner—they combined for 4 for 38 coming into this game tonight, batting 105 as a group. Yeah, so
yeah.
They definitely need to get the heart of their lineup going.
Curtis, anything you add about that?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the baseball also, and I mean, this is the best time of year when it counts.
Yeah.
When, you know, and you can watch the errors, something my dad taught me as a little guy. You miss these errors, you lose these games. Errorless baseball, the key. And I'm enjoying it. Dodgers, I'm still picking them. The defending champion. Okay.
Yep.
The Giants.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, they're defending the champs.
Mm-hmm.
Although the Giants won the division by about a game or two games, somewhere in that ballpark.
I think
it was
yeah,
only
yeah,
one
I
game
was,
they won the division by.
I think it was one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it one? Okay.
Yeah. Good stuff. And Lou, like I said, I'm welcome, Lou. I know you're. Good, thanks for calling in. It was a tough game to lose to the Falcons, man. But you know, I know you're coming back from London, so hopefully everything is well. And you know, all the teams like seem to like. Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But you know, again, we'll get to that in a quick second. We do want to get to you know, the Red Sox beating the Rays up here, so I'll let Rob talk about that as well. Then we'll talk about the Braves and the biggest topic of the night with Gruden, if you will, too. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, you know, much as I hate the Red Sox, you got to give them credit. I mean, they ended the game on a walk-off, defeated the Rays. The Rays jumped out in that series 1-0 and then lose 3 straight to the Red Sox. It was very disheartening. I don't like the way Kevin Cash, I think, is one of the best managers in Major League Baseball. I didn't like the way he handled his pitching in last night's game either. I mean, even if that game would have kept going on, it was tied at 5 for quite some time. He might have been without a pitcher, you know, going into extra innings. So I think he mismanaged that game. It, you know, if that game would have got extended, it would have been tough for the Rays to pull that out. So you got to give the Red Sox credit in that. Red Sox and the Astros, two teams I hate going head to head. You know, I don't even know if it's worth watching. I might throw it.
I tell you what, I was out watching the Monday Night Football game so I could also watch the baseball game and guys. In there with two damn Red Sox fans, and this further made me realize why I hate the Red Sox so much, because, oh, my God, just obnoxious. But, yeah, you know, you got to give them credit. They knocked off the one seed, and you know, Tampa had been playing with a whole lot of you know, pitching. And that you sometimes you can overmanage the team, and I'm with you. He did that last year, to be honest, and he came in the same way. I think he was based on the fact that they had been hitting the ball so well that they were going to go too deep into extra innings. So I think that's where his gamble was. But
yeah.
You got to give the Red Sox credit. nobody really likes him outside of Boston, but he had to play a good game against the Yankees in the wild card. He got down, like you said, 0-1 in that series and came back. You know what? People are just going to treat me in just a boo. So it's still good for baseball. They're going to, you know, the Astros and the Red Sox move the needle. So I know they're not going to cry about that. They probably were quietly rooting for it not to be Tampa, because Tampa doesn't move the needle nationally like those two teams do. So we'll see. The thing that, going back to the Dodgers and the Giants, I was amazed that this is the first time they've ever met in the playoffs. Like, you think about those two ball clubs and what they mean to the history of baseball, and they had never met in the playoffs. So I feel like we're due for them to go five games, because it's just only right for the first time they play with those records this year to go five games.
And it's one of the biggest rivalries in baseball, too, and he never met in the playoffs.
Correct.
But, you know, they're in the same division, so... You know, if recall, you know, prior to this playoff setup, it used to be just the division winner made it to the playoffs, and you used to just have the National League Championship Series and the American League Championship Series. So, and so I think we've been having probably going on close to 15, 20 years with this setup for the Major League Baseball playoffs. But
that's crazy. It's been that long.
But,
Well,
yeah,
I hate the Red Sox,
you know,
as well.
Came big with the walk-off.
I definitely hate the Red Sox as well, and they're just a better team this time, this year, than the Rays. But you guys both alluded that, you know, you give them credit. No, I hate the Red Sox enough to where I don't give them any credit. So.
I do, too. Well, I'm trying to be objective.
That's pure hate. I don't give them any credit. I hate the Red Sox too much to give them an ounce of credit.
Sounds like
they got hot the right time of year.
I'm not going to argue with that, Jerry.
Okay.
I can't argue with that either.
And sometimes just when a team gets hot, right? You know, even when the Red Sox knocked out my Yankees. I mean, a couple weekends ago, the Yankees went up Fenway and swept the Red Sox. And then all of a sudden, you know, not a Red Sox. It's just sometimes just a matter of when a team gets hot. And, you know, managing the game is totally different once you get to the playoffs, too. So that's. You know, that's totally different too. But you know, they're getting hot at the right time.
Well, when the Red Sox win a series, to me it feels like when you throw up a little bit and it just kind of burns the back of your throat. You know, but that's what it feels like to me. Okay, I hate them.
So
I give them no credit.
I love it. I'm winning.
Oh my goodness!
That's good sports talk material right there.
Yeah.
So open your mouth a little bit, like.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh goodness gracious! Good stuff, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Talk about the Braves and Brewers, like you said, it's Lou. Are you a Mets fan, or are you a Yankees fan, Lou?
No, Yankees all the way.
There you go. You and Rob have something in common. There you go. All right. So, enjoy.
Gary, too.
Thanks.
Yeah,
Gary.
That's right. Gary, too.
Yeah.
Well, there it is.
And Gary.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's another series here in that feels like the Braves and most Atlanta teams always like to keep us on our toes, because we can't just win. You know, we have to, like, literally just have a one-run win and have Will Smith have somebody on base. But we pulled it off. Definitely a good game. And it seems like I said, the Brewers, you know, they were having trouble scoring runs. Their pitching has always been really good. So that was obviously an interesting challenge, because anytime you have a squad that has great pitching, that normally normalizes great hitters. But he did just enough. Freddie Freeman, obviously, with the great home run off of Nader. So that was just a great situation for us to actually pull it off. And then, you know, Will Smith comes in and does what he has to do. It was a little nerve-wracking because we did lose Soler, obviously, because of COVID-19. And I was kind of like, okay, we got Jock Peterson, because Jock came from the Dodgers and he's been doing his thing, even though Jock didn't really do, you know, he had a, you know, pretty decent outing. But again, it was a situation where it could have kind of upset kind of what's happening with the Braves, but I'm just happy that we're able to advance. And, you know, the way I see it, I think that we may end up playing, the Dodgers, you know, because that's just how it seems like our destiny, if you will, because, you know, that just seems like us. We got to, you know, get over that proverbial monkey off our back here. So we got to beat the squad here, so that'd be kind of an interesting storyline too. But even though the way that the Giants have been pitching, you know, you got to be a little nervous about that too, because they can shut down good offenses too. But that's my thing, and just excited to see the Braves kind of advance, if you will, to the NCLS.
First time you ever hear me root for the Braves. As long as they play anybody in the NL Central, Cincinnati Reds. I am rooting for the Atlanta Braves, so I was excited to say knocked out the Brewers, so I don't want them to win shit. But you got Josh Pearson. You know, he had a big three-run home run the other day.
Yeah,
so, you know, he stepped in there. And it's good to have Pache out there, you know, in bits and pieces. You know, he can fill that void. We'll see what happens with Larry, and I'm with you. It kind of seems like, you know, not just in baseball, it's almost like in every sport, you have to go through a team, you know, a couple of times to kind of get over that hump. It happens to football a lot more than you think, you know, in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for this year, of course, if they get matched up with the Dodgers, you know, it'd be a repeat of last year. So I'm looking forward to that. I probably will be rooting for the Braves. I used to hate the Braves with a passion, but now working for the Stripers, I've seen all these young guys come through and watch them and was rooting for them. So now it's hard for me to hate them. Because, you know, a year or two back, I was rooting for him to win, you know, when I was working for the Stripers. So I'm like in a weird zone right now with the Braves. I don't know quite what to do with myself. But, yeah, no, I give him a ton of credit for knocking off the walk. I love it.
Hey, y'all know today. I keep telling y'all. Y'all know the name of that team is the Strippers and not the Stripers. Come on. Come on, y'all.
Selling that merchandise, baby. Selling that merchandise.
But yeah, Freddie
and that's
Freeman
why they
came up big. Freddie Freeman came up big with the home run.
Yeah.
He hadn't given up a home run. He hadn't given up a home run since July. And Freddie Freeman got one off of him. That was insane.
July?
Yeah.
I think that was against the Reds. I think it was all Reds that hit the last home run off of Hayter.
Your boy Duvall's been playing good, but he's been having some base running blunders too. Like, come on, Duvall, man. He's been kind of getting away with a couple of them too, man. So he got picked off the pin. I'm like,
bro, when he got thrown out a second, I said, what are you doing?
Bro, what are you doing? He's like running like, you at least got to look back and then make your run. He was like, he ain't going to catch it. Like, bro, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
He was like, already like, trying to give the game. But he better get his hitting so well, you know. So, but it was just like, there's little things like that can come back in that one time when the, you know, that was definitely not a catch. And we're just like, oh, here we go again, man. So just it was just that keeping us on our toes, man. So anyway, Gary, what you got, sir?
You guys said it all. Two teams I really don't care that much about, so I'm going to pick Atlanta. Sorry, but that's all I got. I'm not going to say anything more. I pitched you off a few shows ago, so I'm not going to go there. You know, go Braves.
You didn't piss me off.
Hurt your feelings, make
you cry. I still
got to
pitch,
what?
Andre.
Huh?
I was just focused, man.
Yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good, man. You know,
Curtis,
it's all sports talk. We're having fun. Curtis, what you got, Curtis?
Yeah, I was thinking about this today, and I go with people that did things that nobody else has done. And for me, you know, Tom Brady is the GOAT.
What?
Because of the years. And the number of Super Bowls, there's no doubt about it.
That's all I need. Brady win another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Please no.
Bradshaw, the greatest football team I thought I ever saw, and they beat two great Cowboy teams.
Yeah.
And their run is he's got two back to back. And no other quarterback, not even Brady, has two back-to-backs. So I got him there in two. And then I got to give Bob Greasy credit for having that golden grail of the undefeated season. Backed by
72.
A back-to-back and going to the Super Bowl three times. And that's where I'm at. My 1-2-3. But we're seeing greatness now. And at one time, I thought Pat Mahomes could almost think about being one of the great ones. And he's still in the running. But, boy, they better figure it out this year. And they better figure it out quick.
All right. Well, like I said, I gotta come back. So another interesting scenario too. So let's kind of get some going here. Let's kind of get some gears here with that. Appreciate you, Curtis, you know, sharing those great moments. And again, I know you're gonna talk about fantasy shoutouts. I don't want to hear any more about Tom Brady. Freaking Eagles chick for life, kill me, man. She had like 50 points from Tom Brady, man. So that was just an ass kicking too for her, man. So but anyway, I don't want to think about your boy Tom Brady right about now. But, Rob, we got to talk about the elephant in the room, which is John Gruden. He obviously stepped down because of some comments that was made, and or email, excuse me. And I know it's crazy because, you know, I know how you do not like Roger Goodell, but you probably would have said the same thing he was saying about Goodell. And then
what are you expecting?
It was pretty messed up, too. And then you kind of, like, have to question what's going on because, you know, you're not – Gruden, you're not untouchable, bro. I mean, you got the Super Bowl, but there's still some things you definitely want to make sure that you're kind of careful for, man. So I'll let you kind of speak to that and, you know, open it up to the everyone as well, too. So go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, I think from the NFL perspective, I think they're a little frustrated that the Raiders didn't act even prior to the game this Sunday. And then they got a hold of some more emails to you know, to expose them even more. And, you know, it just forced kind of Gruden to resign. And, you know, you got to realize the Raiders in the NFL has a touchy history, too. And, you know, Mark Davis is Al Davis' son. So they're somewhat of renegades. They like to do their own thing as opposed to listening to the NFL. But I think the NFL really wanted the Raiders to do something about this prior to this game this weekend. I think the NFL was really pissed off that Gruden was allowed to coach this past weekend. And they really wanted the Raiders to take the action before they would take action. But obviously Gruden, you know, stepped in and resigned. And obviously I'm sure you all have heard Tampa Bay Buccaneers removed John Gruden from the Reign of Honor in Tampa Bay also on today. And I mean, all indications are he won't have any affiliation with the NFL ever again. After this, and you know, I know we live in a forgiving society, and you know, you might see a small college football program maybe take a shot on them maybe 5 years from now or so, but you know, it's and you know, you hear more and more people come out and say, hey, this is the John Gruden we knew all along, and you know, like Keith John Johnson coming out saying that, and you know, so you know, how if this is his behavior has been like this all along, how did he get this far?
It probably has.
You know, all of these years, and then you know, you know, hindsight is 20/20. But even you go back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you fired a guy like Tony Dungy, who's a class act. Then you bring in a guy like John Gruden, and you know, and now seeing this, I mean, obviously hindsight is 20/20. But it's, you know, just going back, just thinking about that, if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you fired Tony Dungy for this, and you brought in a guy like John Gruden, you know. And, you know, to Tampa's defense, I'm sure they didn't know, you know, this was just character probably at that time. But it's just, you know, hindsight of 2020 to go back and to think about that.
So, just started, you mentioned that. I had a buddy that still lives in Tampa, that's from Tampa. When I met him in college, talked so much trash about how Tampa was going to do this and that. And the moment they fired Tony Dungy and hired John Gruden, he stopped being a Bucs fan. He hates their guts. And I mean, I'm telling you, he hates their guts. He actively roots against them every single Sunday since that has happened. But, you know, there's so much to unpack here is that, one, how comfortable and entitled do you have to feel that you can put that in email Like, if you say that with your homeboy, this still ain't right. We all say some crazy stuff when we get together. But to put that on paper and to do it multiple times, like, where do you think that you are in life that you can just do that? Like, email is forever. That is crazy to me that he thought that that was going to be okay and that was just going to go forever. And it almost did. And it was the fact that they were looking into Dan Snyder that, you know, he gets caught. But the other piece about it that I sort of cry, is that, you know, we got all these emails about Daniel Snyder. We don't hear anything about it. But you know, the NFL season, we talked about Goodell. They said, okay, we're going to get this sucker. Let's go ahead and drop this one about Maurice Smith. And we think that one's going to do it. And, of course, that didn't move the needle. And it took talking about gay people and women to finally push it over the level. And I was like, you know, people was like, man, he really was going in on these emails. And then I thought about it, I was like, but wait a minute. Him calling him, you know, it's a big lift thing. Look, you live in this country, dude, as a 50-some-year-old dude. You know what, even if you're interested in intended, you know what that kind of connotation does when you say something like that. Nobody's that ignorant. I just don't believe that. But the fact that that alone wasn't enough to get him fired is perplexing to me. It took a whole abundance of him violating other groups for them to finally say, that's enough for us, where that one wasn't. So, I mean, I don't know if I necessarily think that he was trying to be racist with that first one about Maurice Smith, but I just can't believe that you can feign ignorance as a 50-some-year-old dude that has lived in this country that doesn't know how people would take that if they saw or heard that you said that about somebody. So I was just sitting there like, man, John Gruden is a wild dude. At least you know where he is now, who he is. I'm with you, Rob. Unless he goes to, like, Barstool or go to, with Clay Travis, like, I'll kick. He can't be with anybody that's an official partner in the NFL. Now, as long as Roger Goodell is still in charge, I just don't think that's going to be the case. So, I guess, you know, good riddance. I thought he was overrated as a coach anyway. He was more of a personality than he was a good coach. But, wow, John Gruden, that you feel like you did. One, that you feel like that, and two, that you thought you were so above the law that you could put that on wax. Like, no, you can never put that on email, bro.
Well, what year were these emails from? Weren't these back in, like, 2011 or something? Or
2018, and people keep missing that piece of it. It's almost an eight-year thing of him sending emails from what
I
read.
I'm not giving him a pass.
Not you.
If it did happen in 1999, I'm just saying that, you know, when did his entitlement start? Because it started way before that, too.
Right.
And he's not. I don't think he's anywhere – I don't think he'll have anything – no NFL team is going to touch him again. He's done. Some little rinky-dink community college may pick him up, if that, years from now.
Yeah, Winnipeg, but, State, or somebody like this.
You know, maybe LSU, I don't know, one of these rinky-dink schools.
I'll also go there.
Uh-oh.
I told my joke.
Uh-oh.
State University,
LSU needs a new football coach, but it won't be John Gruden.
No. This isn't anything to joke about. You know, we're kidding here or whatever. This is just ugliness and
brutal.
I would like for them to do even more of an investigation and see who has kind of suppressed, because there's got to be even more stuff out there with this knucklehead. And I'd like to know who, if any teams or organizations have suppressed some of this stuff over the years. And they need to be reprimanded too, in my opinion. It's not just
going down
him.
That rabbit hole,
he's calling
wow.
his,
okay.
You know, he's got his buddies there that he's, the good old boy thing. Maybe this is going to blow up some of that good old boy bullshit.
But the NFL won't release the rest of them. Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen have to wow to those emails, too, that they just aren't letting us know about. They're trying to protect those two, but they just threw John Gruden to the wolves. They said, here, you have them. But, I mean, you got emails from that long of a period. If he felt that comfortable saying that to them, imagine what they sent back to him. Like, I want to see all of it because I'm sure there is some wild shit in those emails.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody's going down. Go ahead.
Yeah, but they ain't chopping off the head of the snake, though. They're protecting Dan Snyder at all costs. I'm sure him and Bruce Allen have some choice shit in those emails, too. I would love to see what they are.
Yep.
And, you know, the frustrating piece, and I know we touched on this, you know, just a little while ago, but you know, the African American community is, you know, why did it have to wait till the other materials came out before he was let go? And you had to find out he was talking about women in the gay community before he was really, you know, let go. That was, you know, and I think, you know, from an African American standpoint, that's the frustrating piece with this. You know, the initial email alone should have been more than enough. But,
right.
You know,
anybody
had to
wait
until everything else came out. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Not to get into politics, but let's face it, that last knucklehead that was in office, he made all of this shit popular again. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're going to protect, haters are going to protect their the other haters, I guess. You know?
He brought them out of the woods.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
He made them feel comfortable.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
but
shut
in 2011,
up,
John Gruden, I mean, Trump wasn't in office in 2011. When
no.
John Gruden started his emails.
Right. Yeah. He just was on that shit beforehand, but it's
no,
wild.
No, we were talking about, but what I was touching it on is, you know, these emails, it wasn't until these other things came to light, you know, that they made the huge push on everything. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
his initial emails that was out there. So that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So who's gonna replace
yeah.
him, though? Who's going to replace Gruden right now? What do you think? Who's going to be the next coach to replace him? Have they talked about this or what? What's the word on the street, if you will?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think there's any names that's been floated out there, but if you had to just think of some names, obviously Eric Bieniemy would be one you can think about, you know, from the Chiefs. He's definitely
ooh.
Somebody that comes
ooh.
To mind.
That's not good right now.
hey, I tell you what, Joe Brady, Carolina's offensive coordinator, he's going to be a hot name. You know, Sean McVay became the head coach at 33. Brady's in that same age group, you know, somewhere around 32, 33, 34 years old, somewhere around there. I would think he would be a guy that you would definitely think about giving a look. Todd Bowles from Tampa Bay, you know, I think he's going to get a second opportunity at some point. Brian Daboll from Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo is playing like the best team in the league right now. So, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, they ever since they lost week one to Pittsburgh, they've just been kicking everybody's ass. I mean, I don't think every game has been at least 18, 20 points, some even 30, 40-point wins.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even close. And, I mean, they just manhandled the Chiefs. So I would think he's got to be a candidate for a head coaching job here at some point. But those are just a few names to just think about that, you know, I think even looking at it, I know there's one of the topics, you know, coaches on the hot seat. Obviously, the Raiders are going to have an opening. But other than that, to me, there's only two other coaches on the hot seat right now. It's Urban Meyer, of course, with Jacksonville. You know, he might be one and done. And then Joe Judge with the Giants.
Yeah, Cousins
Judge,
Swag.
Joe Judge with the Giants, you know. Yeah, to me, those might be the only three openings this year, offseason.
Oh, no, Nagy might be in trouble in Chicago. Nagy might be in trouble in Chicago.
Who?
Nagy.
That's a good call. I forgot about Nagy.
Yeah.
But the Bears are 3-2, surprisingly, right now.
Yeah, they're doing better than
yeah.
You know, with a makeshift quarterback, you know, even though I think Fields is, you know, definitely got a lot of potential and he's only going to get better. But, you know, they're not getting me. He got, 111 yards passing this past weekend, a touchdown. But, yeah, I mean, as of right now, if the Bears go 9-8 or 10-7, they're probably going to keep him a little while longer and see if he can, you know, develop Fields. But right now they're 3-2, so I think we have to wait and see that one play out. But I agree, if the Bears finish 8-9 or 7-10, 6-6, got to think about this new math with the 17 games.
11.
6-11? Yeah, 6-11. It just sounds weird, right?
yeah.
But if they fall in that realm, then Nagy might be out too. You're right.
That's a good call, JQ. Yeah.
I don't know. The Bears have been doing well, so I don't think they'll be out. Anytime soon.
Well, the problem you have is the fan base hates him. Like, the fan base hates Nagy. Like, if you read any articles about the Bears, the fan base hates that dude. And they basically made him start Phil because he was going to go back to Dalton or the Foles. And they were like, bro, what are you talking about? You moved up the draft this dude. You need to go ahead and start him. What are we discussing? So that's a piece of it that, you know, you got to take into consideration. When your whole fan base hates you,
they're going to lose the Packers this weekend.
They could not come to that door. That bad. That bad. Oh, man. Let's talk about this Ravens comeback real quick, and I want to talk to JQ and get Curtis and Gary's thoughts on Justin Herbert and the Cowboys kind of streaking as much as we'd love to hear about that, too. But we're excited to see, you know, Lamar Jackson do an amazing comeback versus the Colts. And just, you know, he was not playing that well in the first half. And for him to come back and just, you know, put all the haters to rest, is, you know, because he did a lot of his arm. So just the fact he threw 4 touchdowns, I think he threw for like 400-something yards, which is crazy. So that was just amazing to see him come back down by 19 points and just kind of literally do that epic comeback win, too. So just really happy for him. He had a lot of good history as far as I think he was the first quarterback to hit like 60% of his passes or something crazy, or 85% of his passes. Wow. And then just, you know, had the highest completion rate, you know. So it was good for him to literally, again, just put all those people that said, hey, you're not a quarterback to just to make an epic comeback too. So what are your thoughts about that, JQ?
Yeah, but I mean, some of that was from his own doing, right? You know, you can't fumble with the 1 yard line. He still misses to me. Was he in his fourth year? He still misses too many throws for me. His running is outstanding. Don't get me wrong. He can change the game with his running. But he's got to evolve. And I think that's where people start to nitpick his game is that he still misses too many throws. If Andrews isn't wide open or Marquise Brown isn't running naked, you know, down the sideline, then it, sometimes those windows he misses and it gets on one read. You know, I mean, I don't know if that's just in his Louisville days with a one read and run, but if, you know, if the plays to Andrews is not there, he runs. If the plays to Brown is not there, he runs. I don't really see him a lot of times working multiple times through progression. You know, and he can bail himself out with his legs, don't get me wrong, but he's got the arm talent to be able to make other throws, and he got to me, he's got to stay in the pocket a little bit more and be able to make better reads. So, I'll give him credit for bringing him back.
That last play to Andrews, though, he kind of stood there. He was standing around, and then he kind of threw it. So, he actually did that last touchdown to Andrews. Was a pretty good touchdown, though.
But that one was a little different, though, because that pass rush was gas, and they were only rushing four. So, it's a little harder at that stage of the game when they're not rushing, and you've got seven dropping. Those zones out there to run into aren't as big. And then you can sit there and pass the ball. But earlier when the pass rush was coming and they weren't gassed and they hadn't lost, they lost Xavier Rhodes and they lost another cornerback, I believe, in that game. So you can sit back there and kind of go through it in that instance. But, you know, I like to see him. I'm just saying I like to see him do that for four quarters.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what people nitpicking. But it's a heck of a comeback. I mean, I needed Indianapolis to win to keep us all at 3-2 at the top of the division. But, you know, you got to give him credit. He never gave up. He hung in there.
Yep. Yeah. And obviously that blocked field goal at the end was crucial, you know, keeping the game as an 8-point game. You know, the Colts could have went up by 11 there in the fourth quarter, but the blocked field goal by Campbell was huge. You know, using the 6-6 train, coming up there and blocking that field goal, keeping them in the game, and they were able to go down the field and get a touchdown on a 2-point conversion, then, of course, get the win in overtime. But, yeah, you got to give them a lot of credit for that comeback. And also, you got to thank Calais Campbell for getting that block.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Curtis Gary is just...
Well, the only thing I would say about it is he had a good half of football. Right? But that's... And a great comeback. They won the game. But what fans are alluding to, and as well as JQ, is, you know, you want to see that four quarters. You want to see that when they're bringing in that extra person on a blitz. You want to see him be able to make that extra check down throw and not just look at that one play and take off. And that's been his problem his entire career. And it's justifiably so because he's a phenomenal athlete. But there are a lot of good athletes there that at some point or another they're going to get leveled by these guys. And they're either going to, you know, make that turn and become less of a runner, less of a running back, and more of a quarterback, and that's what they're wanting him to be there. and wanting him to become more of a quarterback than a running threat. You do that, it makes that when he does run even more special.
Correct. You don't become Cam Newton. You don't want to see your future as Cam Newton. That's who I'm going to be. No, you don't do that at all. Go ahead,
no,
Curtis.
Correct. Like that. Curtis, what do you got?
Last night, a lot of that was hard to watch. The first half and a lot of that third quarter, it was hard to watch. But I believe in Baltimore. And what I'm going to say about last night, I think the Colts lost that game. It was hard to believe that Blankenship missed out field goal with 3 seconds left. They did everything they could to win that game, and they left when he kicked it. There was no more time on the clock. It just was fortunate for Baltimore's sake. He missed it from 30 yards away. But we saw that all day Sunday. A lot of six extra points missed on Sunday. And a few, that was a game when the
most in NFL history in one weekend, extra points missed.
So that was terrible. But
wow.
Going through week 5, what I think right now, there's only 2 teams that have a clear path to winning their division. And I think the 2 teams are Buffalo and the Cowboys. There should be no reason why Buffalo shouldn't win that division, and there should be no reason why the Cowboys should not win this division. So those two, I get home.
Might even add the Packers in that number 2. I think they're going to separate themselves from NFC North. And I know the Bears are only 1 game back, but I don't think the Bears are as good as their 3-2 record. And so I could see the Packers separating themselves a little bit. But you're right. As far as easiest division winners, that's a good point. I still think the Colts might come back and challenge the Titans. For some reason, you know, I think they may come back and eventually challenge the Titans in there. And the NFC North, I'm sorry, the AFC North looks to be real competitive. The NFC South and the NFC West seems to be competitive. And but, yeah, you're right. And, you know, and I hate to say it, you know, you got to watch Tampa Bay. There could be another team that could possibly separate themselves in the division.
I was going to say, come on, Rob. You know Tampa's getting ready to separate themselves. Carolina coming back to earth, and New Orleans is letting the Giants and the Redskins just go up and down the field on them. I was like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah, it's all good. Hey, Rob, do these fantasy shots really quickly, and we'll show some love to the Cowboys, if you will.
All right, fantasy shout-outs for the week. What week did we finish? Week number 5. Let's see, where's my notes?
5 week number 6 coming upon us, yep.
Yeah.
All right. Week number 5, league number 1, Monsters of the Midway. Paul from Atlanta had the biggest win of the week. He beat Big Fast and Strong 170.78. 80.62. Gentilly Hot Sausage, my high school classmate, 4-1 in first place. It's Corey from Atlanta. League number 2, Bears Nation. That's Paul from Atlanta again. Biggest winner in week, 183.28 over Andre's team. Playoffs, 103.16. And also Bears Nation in first place with a 5-0 record. League number 3, J.K.'s team, Ohio Players, for the biggest win of the week, 151.78 over Pelican Fly, 97.70. Kraken, that's Chester's team out of New Orleans, 5-0 in first place. And last but not least, league number 4, We won all the smoke. That's Rashard from Atlanta. Had the biggest win, 200.56 over Birds Flew South, 83.78. And Andre's back. Live Matters teams in first place at 5-0. Those are the fantasy shout-outs for week number 5.
Woo! That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to see right there. That's what I like to see right there.
Wow.
Got a whole one of those divisions now.
5-0. Congrats.
Mm-hmm. That's what we do. All right. So Cowboys got their streak, Curtis and Gary. What you guys got to say about that?
Curtis, you want to start this with the Cowboys?
Well, Gary and I, we're very happy people. Like I said before, there's no reason why the Cowboys didn't win this division.
Yeah.
It's a lousy division, except for the Cowboys. Now, to beat Aaron Rodgers, to beat Tom Brady, to beat Russell Wilson, to beat Kyler Murray, to beat Stafford, you got to get those guys on the ground. You can't let them be in the pocket, picking and choosing, picking and plucking the Cowboy defense apart. It starts with the Cowboys. They have to get that rush serious and demanding and beating up quarterbacks all over this league. They need to put Brady on the ground 6 times. They need to put Aaron Rodgers on the ground 5 times. They need to put Russell Wilson on the ground 5 times. They need to put Kyler Murray, maybe the hardest one, to put on the ground. He may be. But if they don't do a pass rush and keep up with the takeaways, it always comes down in the NFL, who's got that ball there. And they lost to Brady in the first game. They left him with a minute and 30 seconds.
That was a great game, though.
And, you know, you need these guys a minute and 30 seconds. All the quarterbacks I named, they're going to kill you. So, pass rush, Cowboys, pass rush. And
what I
figure out how to hold the ball until the clock runs out.
That's right. Curtis and I talked about the pass rush, and that's one of the, I think that the Cowboys go forward, getting maybe DeMarcus Lawrence back would definitely help. What Dan Quinn has done with, you know, really with the, you know, almost the same people has been fantastic.
Freaking Dan Quinn.
You know.
Trayvon Diggs playing out of his world.
He's playing phenomenal.
MVP so far.
He's doing a good job with them. And then our offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, who's going to fast-track himself to a head coaching job unless Jerry Jones pays him a lot of money. Because whoever he's going up against, he can change that whole thing to just nothing but a downfield passing attack or short dink and dunk, or just what I like to see him do and what they've done in the past 3 weeks is just play this power football thing. This power football thing has been fantastic. They haven't had games like, a 300-yard passer and 200-yard rusher, since way back when, Troy Aikman and, Emmitt Smith and, Michael Irvin were there. So they're on the right track in spite of some of the inadequacies with clock management with their head coach. which could be a problem. But so far, so good. Do I like what I see? I think they're definitely in my top five in the NFL right now. Right now. But, you know, now let's reevaluate this in five games and see where they're at. And that's with any team. You've got injuries. You've got all kinds of stuff you got to worry about. But right now, offensive line is playing good. Defense is playing much better, much improved defense. And the game management from the offensive coordinator has been phenomenal. I think probably the best in the league.
Yeah, when we were talking about the Raiders, potential head coaching spots, yeah, Kellen Moore was actually the guy I wrote down, too. And, you know, he's definitely going to be on that list if he continues at the rate that he's going. And, you know, hey, you got to tip your hat to the Cowboys. They're playing outstanding right now. Dak Prescott, the 1-2 punch at running back right now with Zeke and Pollard, is playing phenomenal. And then the weapons that they have on the perimeter right now, CeeDee Lamb, New Orleanian, and that's why they're playing good, man. They got Dak Prescott from Louisiana, CeeDee Lamb from Louisiana. Man, sucks. We need them boys on the Saints. But no, you got to get some playing for the home state. You know? Come on. But no,
I'll give you that. I'll give you that one, Rob.
In all seriousness, you know, they're playing outstanding. Gary touched on it. The offensive line has been outstanding, even with some of the injuries and suspensions they've had on the offensive line. I mean, they've still been – they haven't missed a beat. But, you know, Dak Prescott is in the MVP conversation the way he's playing right now, no doubt about it. All the offensive slight edge to Kyler Murray right now, you know, 5-0. Obviously, Tom Brady's right there. Dak Prescott's right there. Josh Allen is going to be in that conversation, and Justin Herbert, you know, he's in that conversation right now too. So if you got to think about MVP conversation, those are the five guys that I'll put there. I got the Bills as the best team in the league right now, and I know Arizona's undefeated, but I got the Bills as the number one team in the league right now. When you look at what they're doing defensively, their defensive line rotation is vicious right now. And they're forcing turnovers. Josh Allen and the offense is playing really well. They just seem to be well coached. Leslie Frazier doing an outstanding job, the defensive coordinator. Hopefully you'd like to see him get another opportunity at the head coaching position. But I got the Bills at the one spot. I give the Cardinals number two since they're undefeated. I got Tampa, obviously the defending champs, at number three. I got the Packers. Four, and I got the Chargers five, Cowboys six, Ravens seven.
Wow.
I go with that.
Very nice.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. Maybe the Chargers, I'd argue with that, but we already played them.
Yep, that's true. Y'all did go went there and beat them. So that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Maybe I had to flip-flop that. But ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize that music. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man. College football, man, it's going crazy right now. The Natty, number three in the country. Iowa Hawkeye, number two in the country. Yeah, what's up, college football?
Nice.
Georgia Bulldogs, number one. Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a brief OT portion. We can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link the rest of the week to get the rest of the show. We're going to be back at you live on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Or as the people in the country say, they don't say Pacific, they say specific.
Fresno, that's me flashing that O.
Okay, that's not what we say.
That is not what we say.
Say, I see you flashing that O. The beat out to be a loser, Stanford. Bastard. Yeah, I can't have it, man. This is crazy right now. The Braves, in NLDS, you got Georgia number one. It's hard to walk around here right now. You can't tell these folks down here in the ATL nothing. Right now, we'll see how this progresses, but they are on cloud nine right now.
Yep. Wow. I know how them Bulldog fans are.
Go Dogs!
Yeah.
Out of control.
Gosh. There was a text. There was one like Mark Safe from like Karen Roll Tide or something like that. That was pretty hilarious, man. So, was that you, Gary, that sent that out? Was that you that sent that, Gary? Mark Safe from Karen Roll Tide or something like that?
No, I sent that.
Rob. That was hilarious.
I said Mark Safe from Karen Roll Tide.
That was like awesome. I was like, oh, that was hilarious.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I'm about to take that. I'm about to steal that. That was pretty good.
Hey. As bad as LSU looked, there was at least some sweetness to that night seeing them lose. But, hey, you know when it's all said and done, Alabama's going to be right back in it. So you got to enjoy it while you can to see them lose.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you get the ass kicked. It was like, I do want to talk about a couple of things here because there's a I don't think we're going to have time to talk about all the different games here, but I did want to talk about some, you know, Chiefs and some panic that's happening. They are trying to acquire Marlon back because, you know, it may be a good situation. This may be a win-win for both teams because obviously Jonathan Taylor's been performing really well. Marlon Mack has not been happy with his lack of playing time. So the Chiefs, you know, they lose, you know, Edwards, you know, obviously Blair. So they're like, they may be out with a strained MCL. Yeah. So it may be a situation hit. You know, this can actually work out too. So that may be a situation where it's a win-win for both teams. So. You know, that may be a good look for the Chiefs, and if they have effing run the ball, because they just seem to think they can keep out throwing everybody, and their defense has been terrible, can't stop nobody.
Yep.
And, you know,
that's
you're dropping back eight folks in covers, and you're like, hey, throw the ball, Pat. They're not letting anybody beat them deep. We ain't doing that. So you can knee and duck all day long. And then Patrick Mahomes haven't been playing well at all, too. So it's been a tough situation for Chiefs fans, but, you know, I don't know.
And I think it is time to hit the panic button if you're the Chiefs because, as you just mentioned, the Chiefs, I mean, their defense is looking atrocious. And right now they have to figure out a way to slow the game down. They're going to have to start running the football more some kind of way. You know, I don't know if that's with Darrell Williams, the pounder. You know, he may not get 15 yards, but he can get you 4 or 5 here and there. And, you know, they're going to have to find a way to slow the game down and protect the defense a little bit. And let's face it, Pat Mahomes is playing out of control this year. He's just seems like he's trying to do too much because he knows he doesn't have a great defense. And but some kind of way Andy Reid is going to revise his strategy and the game plan. He's going to have to slow down the game a little bit, protect his defense, run the football more, and help set up Mahomes a little bit more on play action. And I right now, like I said, they just think they can just go out there and just sling the ball over the field, and they're starting to catch up with him right now, and Mahomes is playing out of control.
Wow.
You know the talent is there, but they got to get back to slowing the game down, protect Mahomes a little more, and see if you can help that defense a little bit.
I don't think it's helping that defense, bro. I don't know if it's helping no defense. I mean, I hear what you're saying. But you can do that, and that defense will come back and give them a drive in 2 minutes and 55 seconds to go for a touchdown. Like, that defense is atrocious. That's their problem.
Oh,
and it's causing them to panic in the game. And that's the problem, is because they get a look up and they're down already. And it's like, Jesus, how do we have this offense and we're down already? Because that defense can't stop, you know, it can't stop the 5 or 6 of us on this call, 7 of us on this call. I mean, it's bad.
It can't even stop our flag football team we had, Andre, some years ago.
Yeah. It's bad. So, I mean, it's time to hit the panic button, especially with the way the Chargers are playing. The Chargers are the reason why it's time to hit the panic button. You stupid.
Oh, I can't right now.
Because that flag football team we had.
Hey, man, we scored, man.
You're right about the Chargers,
man.
Though.
Justin
Herbert's
the reason.
Playing outstanding. Yeah. And even though, I mean, they won a shootout against Cleveland, I think the Chargers' defense is better than what it showed. You know, giving up 42 points to Cleveland. I mean, the Chargers got personnel on that defense, too. We look at Derwin James, we look at Joey Bosa, on that team.
Yeah.
They have some personnel on that team. The Chargers are for real. I mean, and to me, they have underachieved the last couple of years because the personnel has been there. Well, Justin Herbert was a rookie last year, too. We got to keep that in mind. And, you know, he's just showing his maturity. This year as well. And the year before that, I think they had Tyrod Taylor. So we got to keep that in mind. But the personnel was always there. But now that they're getting the quarterback who is developing into a franchise quarterback, they look like the real deal, absolutely.
Yep.
They're going to be right there in contention for that.
Well, let me ask
you know,
this
Buffalo
about Kansas
State. Buffalo, to me, is the state of the AFC, but, you know, I will put the Chargers right up there for number two in the AFC right now.
Yep. Well, let me ask you this about Kansas City. Was their defense propped up a little bit by Holmes when he was able to score 35, 38, 40 points a game, win all these games? In the past couple, 3 years, did he prop up that defense somewhat, do you think? And you think now maybe it's getting somewhat exposed because he's not able to put up those kinds of, you know, of a thing, you know? Because as we talked about before, what we talked about how the game was so slow for him that he could just go wherever he wanted to. Now it's not.
Right.
So you got teams that are scheming against him and maybe a defense that just wasn't as good as what their statistics showed because of the type of athlete he was.
Well, I think in the past couple of years, they would give up some points, but they would get, Clark, the defensive end, he would get timely sacks, right? So, like, they would be in a shootout, and then they would get a timely pick from the Honey Badger. They would get a timely sack from him, and it would tilt it, and then they would score another touchdown, and they would put the other team on their heels. They aren't getting any of those timely turnovers or sacks, and teams are just marching up and down the field on them. I think that's the biggest thing. So I think you're right. I don't think they were necessarily ever a great defense, but they always were finding a way during these runs to make a key defensive play at a key moment in the game and give them the ball back on a short field or something like that. Then Mahomes would put his foot on your neck, and now you have the other team panting. So not that they were ever a top-five defense, but without even getting some of those timely plays to slow somebody down a little bit, and they just are getting embarrassed. It's bad.
Yeah.
No, but they were top 10 or top 12 defense, right? Weren't they?
I don't think they were that good.
When you have an elite offense like
that,
you know, you really just need at least a middle of the pack defense, right? You need your defense to be somewhere in that 15, 16, 17 range, maybe 18. And that's what they were. They were an opportunistic defense.
Okay.
You know, they held it together in the red zone quite a bit. They were opportunistic. They were able to force turnovers. They were able to hold teams to field goals occasionally while the Chiefs were scoring touchdowns. And, you know, that kind of, you know, offset. But right now, I mean, I don't know the rankings, and maybe that's something for us to look up. But if I had to take a guess, they're near the bottom of the league as far as defense. They got to be somewhere in the 25, 32 range right now.
Easily. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I would have seen some.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, too, since there's no threat of the run like you talked about, you know, they're just pretty much dropping, like, you know, eight back in coverage, like daring, you know, Patrick Mahomes to pass, and they're going too high safety, so they're not letting Tyreek Kill get past them. So they're like, we know you ain't going to run the ball, so you can, you know, sit there and dink and dunk all day. And then, like you said, as JQ mentioned, as Rob mentioned, now that you can't, you know, even run the ball, so there's no way for you can even, you know, hold the clock down. So now we got you guys ahead, so we can sit there. And now we got to force you to pass. Now you're playing our game. You're not even going to run the ball. So it's like you're talking about a perfect storm, if you will, too. So that's just what's happening with them. So Rob is right. If you're the Chiefs, you definitely want to hit the panic button because right now there has to be some changes. And, you know, you got to get the run game going. You got to shore up that defense, you know, make a trade, do something. Because right now they're not looking like the Super Bowl repeat champions by any or repeat representatives at all right now. So, yeah. But, yeah, don't cry for me, Argentina, right now. I'll let you guys pick a topic. We'll get and wrap this up, too, because there's a lot of great topics. I know Georgia's playing an undefeated Kentucky team. They should obviously beat Kentucky this week, if you will, because they're looking like the best. And then there's some drama with Oklahoma, too. Spencer Rattler getting booed. They're back.
And Vince.
This is kind of scary because this guy, and Vince, yeah. And he was supposed to be a top pick, you know, going to the this coming up draft. And now his draft status is probably definitely shook, too. But you know, obviously Oklahoma barely survived Texas, but that's not looking good for Spencer Rattler, for sure.
Yeah. And Caleb Williams is a five-star prospect, too, you know, coming out of high school.
Oh,
so here we go. Lincoln Riley get another big-time recruit at the quarterback position. So it's not like this guy with chopped liver who came in. But if I'm the head coach of Oklahoma right now, I'm starting Caleb Williams this weekend. I mean, he was the one that brought you back in this game. He's the one that's got the momentum.
Got to.
Now, obviously, other teams are going to have some film on Caleb Williams now, you know, going into this week. But I think you at least give the guy a chance. I mean, you still got Spencer Rattler in your back pocket. You know, I sent this in a text, but this reminds me of when Nick Saban benched Jalen Hurts for Tua. And, you know, obviously Jalen transferred to Oklahoma. Jalen was still the second-round draft pick, too, or first-round pick, you know. So I wouldn't say Spencer Rattler's future is done, especially when you look at Jalen's standpoint. So Jalen is playing better than Tua in the NFL. And but, you know, but obviously if you're Lincoln Riley, to me, you got to start the five-star freshman, Caleb Williams. He showed you a lot in that game. He was poised. He was able to run in the pocket. He was able to throw the football. You know, I like to see, you know, I like to see him give the kid the starting job after what he proved, you know, this past weekend.
You don't see
the only thing about that, I just touched on that quickly, is that Spencer Rattler seems like the kind of person, if you bench him and you bench him long-term, you might lose him. And then you say you have him in your back pocket, you try to go back to him, he might even be a shell of who he was before and he wasn't playing great. He just, to me, doesn't seem to have that mental makeup. So I wonder if you bench him after a bad half or a bad couple of starts to the season for the young kid, and then you try to go back to him, will you lose? That's my only concern with him, because he just seems to me not to be one of those kind of resilient type dudes. But for in terms of the topics, I'll be brief. I saw interesting, it's not on here, so I'll just touch on it briefly, that the AAC and Conference USA are talking about coming together and merging and making the Western and Eastern Conference and rebranding the whole thing to try to keep from getting poached. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. I think the AAC is like, no, because we want some of your guys, so we don't want to realign with you. We want to take some of your teams. But I know that the Conference USA president was putting that out there, so I'd be interested to see if that comes to fruition. And last but not least, what's wrong with Kyrie Irving, man? Why won't he just be right? Like, he's getting ready to get ran off that next team, bro. Like, James Harden and Kevin Durant have to text each other, like, what is wrong with this MF? Why won't he just be right so we can go try to win us a championship? What the hell is his problem? So that's that. We talked about the only thing that could derail the Nets were the Nets. And Kyrie Irving is the one that looks like he's going to derail it. Now they're saying if you can't play part-time, if you can't play full-time, you can't play part-time. So he can't play for 41 games as it stands right now. That's wow. That's going to be real interesting here to see how that resolves. I want to see if KD and James Harden get him in the room, but we love you for your festival ideals. But we got here together to win this title, and we need you for it. And what you're doing right now is going to break us apart.
And even his own parents is upset with him the way he's acting in this situation. I don't know if you heard that. His parents are angry at him just for not getting vaccinated. And he says he says not that he's against the vaccinated, but he's trying to stand up for people that are against mandating vaccines. That just don't make any sense to me. But Kyrie Irving has never made any sense, right? He's never made any sense anywhere.
Understood.
And, you know, common sense is not so common these days, people. And, and this is just a true example, of that situation. I mean, it's not that I'm against the vaccine. I'm just standing up for the people that are against mandating vaccines.
Right.
All of a sudden, he's a martyr. I'm not buying it.
No.
I'm not
buying nothing it. About that.
Yeah. All right.
The only thing I want to
wait
for
the season
my,
with two great players.
I'm sorry. I want to do my picks for the week. I'm taking Green Bay over the Bears, but I think it's going to be close. 24-17. I'm picking the Chargers against Baltimore, 31-24.
I agree with both of those so far.
I'm picking Denver over Las Vegas, 24-21.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick the Browns over Arizona.
What?
I agree with that one, too. Arizona get the first loss this weekend.
And I'm picking the Bills over the Titans, 34-17.
That's a good pick.
I agree with all five of those picks. All five. That's exactly the way I see it. And, I agree with the Chargers going on the road and beating Baltimore, too.
Mm-hmm. With that said, Rob, you're back in my good graces. Look how happy he is.
Solid picks.
Happy.
That's a good place to be, right?
It is.
Yeah. You know, Andre touched on the Georgia-Kentucky game, and Kentucky's been real impressive. And Not just saying that for the way they annihilated LSU, but even the week before with the way they beat Florida. And they're really strong in the line of scrimmage. And I really thought they might have a chance to be competitive against Georgia, but now that they got two of their defensive linemen out in this game, I think Georgia stomps them. I think Georgia just I think Georgia just whips Kentucky. I do think Texas responds.
Sorry.
I think Steve Sarkisian has got to be sick the way they blew that game this past weekend. And but I think they do respond. I think they beat Oklahoma State at home. And I got to get one of those orange blazers that Steve Sarkisian had on this past weekend.
Oklahoma State is going to win that game.
I'm going with Texas.
Okay.
And I got to get one of them orange blazers, as they say in the country, earned.
Curtis, you get the last thought, and we'll wrap this up after this. Any last thing you want to say?
Curtis,
you with us?
Yeah. What was the question? I'm sorry.
What do you want to talk about in sports? What's on your mind in sports right now?
Well, one of the things on my mind right now is how the NFL and maybe all football is marginalized and killing defenses. I've seen a bunch of calls that went against the defense that now I think you don't want defenses anymore. Dick Butkus can't play in the league anymore. Ronnie Lott can't play in the league anymore. NFL seems to be going away from the bullies. And in linebackers, you can't have that monster anymore because they got to go out and cover these big, bad tight ends. And they got to cover running backs coming out of the backfield. So you can't have that monster in the middle anymore. You got to depend on your front four to get a rush. And then what I wonder is how the money structure breaks down. And I got a sneaking suspicion that when you're on the defensive side of the ball, if you got to be at the top of the rushes or the defensive back to make any money, I think the rest of them aren't making any money. They're just out there for the show. And I'm really kind of bothered by that. They're marginalizing defenses, I think, in football generally. I called Gary last night when I saw that it wasn't, it was a horse collar, but it was a horse collar in that Baltimore game that he spun the guy around. And then he wrestled them to the ground, after spinning them around, I got them by the back of the neck. But that's not how he took them down. He took them down with a wrestling move after spinning them around and planting them in the ground, roughing the passer. Unsportsmanlike conduct. I thought it was a great tackle, and I didn't see the roughing. In that, I called Gary right after that and asked Gary if he saw that and what his thought was. And that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart about football. They took in the defense, had a defense. And I don't like these scores that go 45-52. I don't like that football. That might be basketball. I don't. I like a little defense play. I really do.
Good for fantasy football.
Well, you know what we talked about last night was, back when some of these quarterbacks, and even quarterbacks like Joe Montana, and prior to, you know, Tom Brady, a lot of people consider Joe Montana the GOAT quarterback. But when he was playing, he couldn't play 20 years. But when he was playing, he had people that if a defensive lineman got close to him and couldn't get near him, they'd reach over the damned offensive line and hit him in the damn head with their cast on their damn arms, tackle him low,
right.
Throw that. You know, I mean, it was a whole different game. And then how they have to hit these days. You can't have a like what Curtis said. You can't have the free state safeties flying over the middle and just leveling it. You level a guy out, and you didn't give him time to catch. It's a penalty. You hit him too hard. It's a penalty. You led with your head. It's a penalty. You know, there's so many things that have that I think that they've taken away from the defensive side of football that I would like to see him lean towards that back. I'd like to see him be able, I'd like these safeties to be able to play safety and be able to just go after these guys. And you always went teams, the teams that were good always had that safety out there that could just, that would punish someone. That if you know you were coming over the middle, you're already looking over your shoulder because you're going to get hit. Now they now they can't get hit.
Yeah,
come in the middle.
Now
you got to look
twice. I partially agree with you guys, too. I definitely think the NFL will put skirts on the quarterbacks. I mean, the quarterbacks, you might as well put a little ballet skirt on the quarterback so you can't touch them. And, you know, it's ridiculous, you know. you might as well put skirts on the quarterback. You know, you think about Joe Montana, man. I just remember that hit that Lennon Marshall put on from behind him, man, just like he just leveled him. That's one of the vicious hits I've ever seen. But, yeah, to me, some of the head-on collisions are unavoidable. And, you know, I know the NFL is trying to protect you, especially when you see Daniel Jones just walk off the field wobbly. He couldn't even walk straight, or probably side to side after that hit on Gary's clapping. Unbelievable.
Booing Santa Claus over there.
Even Taysom Hill on Sunday, you know, he got hit in the head and he tried to stood up and he fell right back to the ground. And so I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to protect the players, but to Gary and Curtis's point, from a defensive standpoint, some of these hits are unavoidable. The way they're flying in, trying to make a tackle, and to me, it's such a judgment call. To me, it shouldn't be just because it was a helmet to helmet. It should be a penalty, okay. But did he have an opportunity to reposition himself based on what happened during the play? And I know that's such a judgment call, but, you know, a lot of times they're just throwing a flag because it's helmet to helmet. But, you know, you're being fair to the defensive player. So I totally understand where you guys are going from, coming from in this one. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right, everybody,
wrap it up. Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're gonna be back at you on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time out in Portland. And Gary is saying it's already bedtime out there at 9:23 Pacific Standard Time.
You're talking about us.
Good night, people.
Say you're talking about me. Good night,
Yeah. Y'all next week. I saw Andre when he dozed off once or twice. He's almost gone to where he was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, do you have any tape on that? I'd like to see the replay on that. I really would. Good luck.
I know.
I ain't got the machine here.
Andre, you record the show? We should have took Andre's picture when that happened.
Yeah, next time.
Ain't no way in hell. There ain't no way in hell I'm recording that. Y'all never going to say that again. That's like a myth.
All right, y'all. I'm going to bed.
All right. Good night, people.
Good night, y'all.
Good night. Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
I got going up on a Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.